This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are 1 hour away from giving away Daniel Tosh tickets. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Live April 12th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. and Chris Watkins will pick the number. Caller that we're looking for to win those tickets. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. That's in an hour. But now we are joined by our guy, Brad,
yes,
from SF Niners. Brad, I just got to say before we get into any of these questions, I don't know if anybody was working harder. I mean, we had people coming to us, right, which was pretty cool, I can't lie. But I saw this man hustling. Everybody, I know we see you on the YouTube, everybody that was following Brad, let me just tell you, this man put in the work. He's walking around with his camera everywhere. He was doing his thing. Then he was getting on buses to go do the media availability with the players. Brad, you really did. I just want to give you kudos. I know that content came out outstanding. So I just want to give a shout out to you and thank you for being on the show.
I'd like to jump in too and just say it was very nice to meet you in person, Brad.
You guys, being able to link with you guys, seeing you guys on Radio Row, all that good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. It was quite the ride. I mean, I'm still recovering from those 8 days in Vegas, man, on top of the Super Bowl loss. So it's been a whirlwind, but man, yeah, I saw you guys grinded too. It was great.
That's what it's all about. And the last one that we saw was when Patrick Willis was with NBC Sports Bay Area and we were wrapping up for the day. And Brad is just, you know, kind of hanging out next to us. And Brad, we're watching this whole thing happen. And Brad says, I think I'm going to get him after he's done with NBC Sports. And we're all invested
we're
at
just
this point.
Watching,
not that he would say no, but we're just, all right, let's see it happen. And Brad goes in for it. He very sly.
It's like when your boy's like at a school dance or something. He's like going to go ask the girl. And it's like, come on, man. Like, I hope she gets it.
And Brad, you know, Brad got it done. Next thing you know, you got that hit with Patrick Willis right after being named to the Hall of Fame. So that was outstanding. Great job, Brad. All right.
That's enough.
Let's go to, I guess, the game and your initial thoughts on it, where things went wrong. Brad, I've been seeing a lot, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well. Have you seen this luck metric going around? Have you seen the luck metric? There's a luck metric going around saying that the Niners were literally the most unlucky team since 2018, and there are numbers to back this based on lost fumbles and things like that. So, and this is from Data with Bliss, data-driven measure of luck, right? So in 2023, since 2018, there have been 80 teams, right? 80 playoff teams. 2023 Chiefs were the number one luckiest team based on these metrics. The 2023 49ers were number 69, including the fluke to Ayuk off the Heasy helmet catch against the Lions. So I don't know what you thought went wrong, but yeah, it was a rough time for Niners fans. And it did feel like a lot of breaks didn't go their way, but there were some areas where they could have been more prepared.
Yeah, I haven't heard that metric, so that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it does feel like they have been a little bit unlucky. And we know to get to that stage, luck is involved a little bit. You know, you can prepare, you can plan, you can execute.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the ball has to bounce your way on some occasions. And it feels like, you know, the 49ers, it's been hit or miss in that regard. But to be honest, I'm looking at this game as more so, yes, there were missed holdings, there was missed penalties, there was those types of things. But in reality, these guys prepare week in, week out for these types of moments. And it felt like the 49ers had the opportunity in their hands. And if they did a couple things a little bit differently, executed a little bit more efficiently and effectively, they're walking away with the sixth ring. So yes, we can point to unluck, we can point to missed calls and all those different types of things, but at the end of the day, you can't put you got to take advantage and you got to take control of your own destiny, and you can't allow it, especially when you have Patrick Mahomes on the other side. Right. You have to take advantage, and it felt like the 49ers kind of kept the Chiefs around. And obviously, you know, when you speak of unlucky, you look at the Dre Greenlaw. That's the most unlucky thing imaginable.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the 49ers had a shot, and they just weren't able to get it done.
Brad, before we get into the Steve Wilks stuff, I want to know your read on the what was the big storyline after the Super Bowl with Brandon Ayuk and the TikTok video and all these Instagram stories of, you know, his friends saying BA to Vegas, and how are you not going to treat your 1,300-yard receiver like this? And even BA himself saying, don't forget what got you there, with some eyeball emojis. Just what is your whole read on that situation with Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, you know, Brandon and I have been able to kind of develop a relationship, you know, through these things, and, you know, along with this team as well. So it's a situation that, you know, I've kind of seen coming for a while. And we know that, you know, obviously Brandon Ayuk heading into his final contract year, the 49ers picked up his fifth year option as, you know, being a first round pick. Right. So he's under contract for one more year. But as I see it, I don't think Brandon Ayuk would like to step onto that field without a new contract, and rightfully so. But I also think the other element to it is he wants opportunity. Mm. He wants to be featured like a Devontae Adams, a Justin Jefferson. When you look at the targets he's getting compared to the elite wide receivers in this league, you're looking at 50 to 60 less targets than all these guys. And he was still able to put up nearly 1,400 receiving yards on around 60 receptions. So what he's been able to do with less has been remarkable, which is why he was an All-Pro. But I think at the end of the day, yes, he wants to be compensated, but I think he also wants that rock. He's a playmaker. He's a baller. He put the ball in his hands. That's what he wants. He's like your prototypical number one guy who wants to impact the game very early and often. And, you know, I think three receptions in the Super Bowl, I think that's stinging a little bit for him on top of the loss. That was an opportunity for him to go out and show out. And I think he just wants to be featured at the end of the day.
Talking to Brad, SF Niners, catch him on YouTube and all social media platforms. Yeah, Brad, getting into the Steve Wilks thing, let's start here, right? At least on paper, top five defense. It yesterday turned into, oh, did you watch the Niners or not? That's how people are reacting. Was he a scapegoat for the Super Bowl? How Chris and I have really been breaking this down is that it was more of a culture fit, right, type deal. And I wouldn't say that it was a defensive disaster the way some people are making it seem. What were your thoughts on Steve Wilks and the Niners parting ways?
You know, honestly, not surprised. I think, you know, Kyle kind of led us into that thought process on the exit interview when he didn't give definitive language that, you know, Wilks would be back. And so you're like, okay, well, let's brace ourselves for something to happen. And sure enough, the next day we find out. And I think you can really, you can go all the way back to week 7 against the Vikings. That final play at halftime where Steve Wilks calls zero blitz and they go for a huge touchdown before half, and that became this huge.
Brad, I've never heard a play in the regular season get brought up so much when you went to the Super Bowl.
Right?
It's crazy. Right?
It is crazy, but it became such a big deal. And then you take that element, and then you have Kyle Shanahan burning a timeout in overtime when he sees Steve Wilks in zero blitz, and he says, nope, we are not doing that in this moment. And I think you guys were actually just talking about this before the break, before we came on, in regards to the Kings. You're talking about trust, right? You're talking about trust in the playoffs. That is the ultimate sign of not trusting someone to make the right call in a crucial moment. And that's all you need to know. And like, and this isn't just a reflection of the Super Bowl. This has been going on all year. coming from the booth down to the sideline, all these different types of things, the way the players have spoke about it, it just didn't feel like a fit. And to be honest, even if they won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised that they maybe, you know, amicably parted ways as
right,
well.
It
didn't feel like it was a fit. We knew it was a challenge to take a, you know, 18-year defensive coordinator, plug him into a scheme that isn't his and a staff that isn't his, and try to make it work. And at the end of the day, I think it was just it was a difference of philosophies, difference of opinions. And at the end of the day, Kyle needs someone he can trust, and it didn't feel like he trusted Wilkes, especially in the biggest moment.
Brad, two-part question for you. So first off, do you believe that the Niners did this having somebody already in mind, or is this a situation where it is quite literally just anybody but Steve Wilkes would be an improvement in their eyes? And then two, Matt Barros released an article on The Athletic today with 11 potential candidates. Who do you kind of see? I mean, the biggest names are being thrown out there. Bill Belichick, you know, Mike Vrabel. There's tons of names being thrown out there. Who do you think would be the right man for that job?
Yeah, I would have to assume that, you know, Kyle is a very meticulous type of preparer for the most part. And so for him to be able to make this move, I would feel he would have to be having some conversations on the back end and kind of understanding who could line up. And obviously, when you talk about potential candidates, there are some big names. You're talking about arguably the greatest coach of all time in Bill Belichick, who's sitting there without a job. All the head coaching vacancies has been filled. He's a defensive mind. And they have a relationship. You know, John Lynch played under Bill Belichick. You think of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade back in, you know, 2017, where Bill Belichick reaches out to Kyle Shanahan to get that deal done. There's definitely a relationship there. And I'm thinking of it like this from Kyle Shanahan's perspective. He is so ingrained and intertwined into the offense. I think he wants someone who can take ownership of the defense. And part of the move with Steve Wilkes was he felt like he had to oversee, maybe kind of, again, make decisions and pay attention to what Steve was doing rather than just focusing on what the offense needed to do. So if you can bring in a guy that not only has head coaching experience, but also has is just a great defensive mind. And you mentioned Vrabel as well. I know 49er fans won't like to hear it, but Pete Carroll is an interesting
name. I've heard that name.
It's just interesting because he runs basically an offshoot. The 49ers run an offshoot of what he did with Seattle. So the scheme is similar. Mm. And he's been a great defensive coach in this league. He's the founder of the Legion of Boom, the architect, I should say. And, hey, he coached for the 49ers back in 95, 96. So there's a tie potentially there. So there are multiple names. Obviously, the 49ers are kind of in a situation where they can pick and choose.
Right.
Because there's no jobs available. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got the one job. And what guys like Vrabel and Belichick, I think, need to kind of way out is, do they want to spend this season on the couch or do they want to spend this season in a defensive coordinator spot that has just produced head coach after head coach when you look at Sala and D'Amico and you just look at the 49ers organization in general? So I think that's what's enticing about it is people are like, oh, would Vrabel, would Belichick want to do that? I'm like, well, would they want to sit on the couch all year? Are they in a better spot to get a head coaching job next year after not coaching at all? Or coming into a win now kind of locker room and try to revamp this defense to kind of what we've known it to be.
Talking to Brad, SF Niners. Brad, yeah, the question would be, if Pete Carroll comes to the Niners, would Richard Sherman still ride for the Niners as much as he's been riding for the Niners? I don't know if that would continue. Brad, before we get you out of here, over the last 30 years, only one team has lost a Super Bowl and got back the next year. How realistic is it for the Niners to be the second team in 30 years to pull that off?
I mean, we saw how tough it was to just get there this year. Yeah. I mean, the 49ers, what is it, 4 NFC championships in the last 5 years, and each season has been so different than the next. And, you know, I'm not one that believes that the window is completely closed. You still have Brock Purdy on a rookie deal. That allows you some flexibility. Yes, you need to re-sign some players, maybe backfill some spots. You need to get a defensive coordinator. But for the most part, your core will be intact, and I think they have one solid shot with this core to try to run it back. Is it you know, it's going to be challenging. We talked about it at the beginning a little bit too. You need a little bit of luck as well. So it's going to be a challenge, but I still think the window is open for at least one more year. Then I think after that, when you're talking about paying Brock Purdy and you those other players are getting older and older, then you're going to have to think about some serious retooling of the roster. But I think this season they can go out and sign a big time free agent, try to extend Brandon Ayuk, and, you know, make another shot at it. So I still think the window's open for one more year, but we'll see after that.
Yeah. Thanks for everything, Brad. As always, yes. Brad, SF Niners, catch him on YouTube, catch him on Instagram. He's popping on Instagram, catch him on Twitter, X, as well, all social media platforms. Brad, SF Niners, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you guys.
All righty, let's get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, also getting back into some Kings talk. And in 45 minutes, your chance to win Daniel Tosh tickets. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thanks to Brad, SF Niners, for joining us. Yeah, and look, I think that's a big thing here when we discuss the Niners. We just saw this happen to the Eagles. There's a reason. It's a marathon, right? That's why it's so impressive what the Chiefs have done.
Right.
Because it's a marathon to just get to the Super Bowl. And I think that the Niners are more equipped than the Eagles to get back. But so much went right this season for the Niners. A healthy McCaffrey, who's dealt with injury issues in the past. A relatively healthy Debo, who's dealt with injury issues. A relatively healthy Kittle, who's dealt with issues. So I do think they got one more in them. But the narrative, I mean, this was the... Niner fans were saying it. If we got... Because the Eagles played really well in the Super Bowl. If it wasn't for that fumble, maybe the Eagles win it, right? I don't know where they fall on the luck chart, right? But maybe the Eagles had an opportunity. So to get that close and you get coaches poached and you see your team change, I think the Niners have the best shot. I'm still not really too confident in the NFC being able to challenge the Niners.
Yeah.
But a lot of things went well for them. This was the year we got cheated. We lost our quarterback.
Unfinished business.
Okay, you got there.
Right.
And you didn't get it done.
stuff if you to do keep
the,
that fire.
Like
too.
You said, Chris, you do the math. You play. You got to the what? You got to the what is it? NFC Championship last season. Yep. So you played that extra amount of football. Then you get all the way to the Super Bowl this season. That extra amount of football, and you have nothing to show for it.
Yep.
At some point, I'm not wishing it, but the numbers say
wear and tear.
Something is going to, and it already has with Greenlaw. Mm-hmm. You already have to replace Greenlaw. And
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
And so you lost Greenlaw, and you're going into this next season.
Another new defensive coordinator. Regardless of who it is, I mean,
they're going to be a transition. And I'm not trying to pour salt in the wound, but yeah,
Peters is gone too.
Peters, and he's taking people with him.
Yeah, a lot of people. Commanders are taking the entire.
I'm Niners bringing
staff.
Bags, it's and like, they Louie, and they Louie. So I think that it's going to be a really tough road.
Yeah.
And to Brad's point, it feels like with this being Brock's last season on his rookie deal, this one's it. You got one more shot at this.
Yeah, you
got
to maximize this.
And
Trent's gone too.
Trent's going to be
Kittle's
gone.
Another year older.
Yeah. This is it. And maybe that can push them forward. But this was supposed to be the year. I hate to pour salt in the wound, but it was
100%, and it's tough to try and get yourself back up to motivate yourself too, and that's what I think is the toughest thing about them not getting the result is, again, you played about as well as you could have this year. The playoffs lined up to where you play the 7 seed, you play the Lions, who have the least experience of anybody in the playoffs, then you play the Chiefs, who of the two AFC teams was the team that you were supposed to want to play between them and the Ravens. Everything seemed to line up perfectly, and for them to not get it done this year, it's really tough to tell me. I mean, what, are the Niners going to go 14-3 next year, and then, like, I'm supposed to believe it again? Mm-hmm. They're at the point now where the only time where I think outside of 49er fans are going to truly believe that this is the year is when it happens. I think that they have exhausted every benefit of the doubt that they have picked up, and at this point, yeah, you just got to go out there and get it done, and not everything's going to line up. It's never going to be as perfectly lined up as it was this past season. I refuse to believe it. And so, yeah, you're going to have to get it out the mud in a weird way.
Yeah, and maybe they do, but this is probably the last hoorah for them from the 5-3-0. You can't pay all the Niners, right? Odd man out on getting extended is Debo with his age. Agree. So what I've read and what I've kind of seen is that you can liken Debo's contract, maybe not as bad, might not be apples to apples, but you can liken Debo's contract to Zach LaVine.
Oh, no.
Okay, I think a lot of people have said that are we okay with trading Debo? And I've even said it.
Yeah.
So I did some research.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah.
And people have kind of discussed it. I think if you find somebody to take that contract, great. But it feels like a lot of those in the kind of Niner space, they don't think that Debo's contract is very movable. Which is not good.
It's not great. Yeah. I mean,
especially not for the Ayuk situation.
Right, no, especially
not
keeping
Juwan.
Right.
I don't know how you keep Juwan Jennings and Ayuk. I don't. I'm not a capologist.
Yeah.
But I do know you can't just keep spending money.
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, if Debo's contract really is that big of a burden or of a weight, like that's really tough because that's the number. I mean, and also receiver with how well Ayuk's played and how well Juwan Jennings played. You brought it up as well. I don't know if relying on Debo's health is the best possible path when, the Niners have tons of other playmakers who I think, you see how the Chiefs patchworked it after losing Tyreek Hill. I could see how the Niners would follow a similar process of, okay, if our system is so great, if our running back's great and Brock is just really good at throwing to open guys, which is the prevailing narrative out there, well, then why do we need a guy like Debo? And I think Debo definitely provides a lot of unique characteristics and skills that definitely elevate this team. But, in theory, if you're paying him that much money, it feels like you can go out there and find somebody else who can give you a semblance of that kind of production for way cheaper.
We had these conversations last week when we were in Vegas about the dawn of the wide receiver. We talked to Michael Pittman Jr. There's a lot of wide receivers coming out each and every year, and because of the way that the Niners, I guess, don't prioritize their wide receivers or their more classic wide receivers, you might be in a situation where, hey, we just need a guy to be opposite Debo for however long, and we think we can find that guy either in the draft or maybe we already have him with Ronnie Bell or somebody like that, because we can't afford to pay these guys, one. And two, it's not just about pay. Just like what Brad from SF Niners said, these dudes want the rock. Yep. And this offense, you're not going to get the rock. You're not as much as you want. Mm-mm. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, A's meet with the city of Oakland today. I'll give you a hint. Nothing really happened. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We have an update that's not a huge update. The Oakland A's and county officials met earlier today to discuss a lease extension at the Coliseum. And we have an update that the meeting has ended. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. The question of where the Oakland Athletics will play their home games after next season while their new ballpark in Vegas is being built still hangs in the air. A's president Dave Cavill and chief of staff Miguel Duarte met with Oakland and Alameda County officials Thursday morning for about an hour to discuss a possible lease extension at the Oakland Coliseum, but no decision was reached. We had a very open and frank conversation about all different scenarios and alternatives and options, and nothing was taken off the table, said David Halbert, an Alameda County supervisor, adding, we agreed to continue to meet and make progress, so there will be additional meetings. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I guess it's a positive in the sense of the two sides are communicating, which seemed for a while to not be happening, and I guess it's positive that the conversation seems to have gone positively enough that they're going to have another one. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, it's an update that there will be a further update to come. So do with that what you will. But I think it's a step in the right direction for sure. I mean, again, these two sides weren't even communicating. And so the fact that they are having actual real conversations about, now not the A's staying long term, but at least the A's staying at all in that building, I think, is a step in the right direction. Because if things do truly fall apart, like a lot of people are starting to report things are at least on shaky ground, you know, I mean, it still does make a lot of sense. As the mayor of Vegas said, I think it makes a lot of sense for both parties to stay in Oakland.
Why would it make sense for Oakland, unless it's just, hey, the money that you got, the revenue that you guys bring in, we'll still take it.
Yeah.
It is what it is, even though you're still planning on leaving. you better be getting, if you're Oakland, I'm cash me outside. How about that? I mean,
for sure.
I need the dollars.
Keep the name too.
Exactly. Keep the name, even though they're eventually going to leave. I thought Oakland, I guess the whole thing was, we want you out since you're leaving anyway. I'm just trying to figure out why Oakland would be okay with it unless they are just super cashing them out.
I would imagine it's that for sure. And also maybe you can, I mean, I think it sounds like Oakland might be shifting to more of the expansion or you know, just the next team up, essentially.
So proving it. So proving trying it. To prove it.
Exactly. Yeah. And getting some things in return, like holding on to naming rights and things like that. And, they also get to, you know, keep the team in Oakland for the time being. Like, there is value in, even though they might not want them there, and they definitely don't want John Fisher there, but, you know, keeping that community happy and, you know, even, again, just prolonging what could end up being a potential life draft for the A's. Like, there's a chance that, again, things go completely wrong and, you know, John Fisher, who's going to go where the money is, he might understand that, hey, staying in Oakland makes financial sense too. So I just think it's the best news for the city of Oakland. I think. I mean, for fans in Oakland, this is the best outcome, I think.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm really torn on it because 916-339-1140, A's fans call in, Sack Chat text line as well on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, Folsom Lake Honda text line. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Yeah, because wasn't that the whole point of the reverse boycotts, right? Hey, we're not going to go because you're taking away our team.
Right.
So I just don't know.
And John Fisher in general.
And John Fisher. So why all of a sudden would A's fans have a change of heart to now say, all right, well, since they're staying –
Well, I mean, they're still going. It's just, I think it's when you're presented with, you know, this or nothing, I think this is still better than nothing. And if everything is signed, sealed, delivered, and there's truly nothing you can do, I mean, enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts. So I think that even though it's not under the best circumstances, you know, again, this is better than nothing. And after all that has been talked about, like, I think... I think you got to take it. I understand why it's a, you know, you could argue it's a bit hypocritical on multiple fronts from a lot of different people in this situation. But I think the important thing is the A's staying in Oakland, playing in Oakland, and who knows, you might luck into something. And even if it is just keeping awareness on the issue, I mean, this did all just kind of spring up really quickly, and it felt like all of a sudden, okay, wait, it's official, they're moving to Vegas. So, you know, if the A's can stay in Oakland for three more years, you can start to raise questions of, wait, why exactly are we moving out of, or why are they moving out of here again? I think that it's good. You can have more protest games as well. Just bring, you have more time to bring awareness to the situation. And clearly by what we've seen so far, this thing is not signed, sealed, and delivered. So.
No, well, I'm just looking here because there's the A's, but more people are excited right now, and they're going to obviously make
the Ballers.
Yeah, the Oakland Ballers playing at the historic Raymond D. Park in West Oakland. And, you know, they're getting a lot of movement here, and there's going to be a lot of spite watching, right?
Yes.
And look, literally, when you go to the Oakland Ballers page, it says, we're sealing baseball back for Oakland. Fans first, Oakland forever. So we know exactly who they are and who they want to be. I mean, their colors are the same colors as the A's, and instead of an A, it's a B for the Oakland Ballers. So we know what they're doing, and I think Oakland fans are probably going to try to make a statement. And I'm looking here, Chris, just from the digital, and it's a very historic park, and I'm looking here from the digital, and they say, you know, they're basically working to make sure that, this was 4 hours ago, we're proud to announce that the Oakland Ballers will be playing our spring 24 home games at Raymond D. Park. We're humbled to be partners with the community in activating this historic field.
Yeah.
And just, I'm watching here with no sound, and it's got a bunch of pictures from back in the day when they used the field. I would assume they're going to make improvements to the field throughout the seasons, right? Because the way it's sounding, based on the pictures that I'm seeing, I don't even know. And they have some time. It's already February. I don't know if they're going to be able to seat everybody, right? I think a lot of people are going to go just to spite the A's.
Sure.
And this thing's going to be a mess. So just to kind of not combat what you're saying,
sure.
But with the Oakland fans are going to be in a tough situation. And the problem is with the A's that they are also not very good. So it's not as if you just can't. Oh, man, it's right. So tough to watch these guys. Let's say when the Warriors went to San Francisco, right, and they left Oakland, and an Oakland fan was, man, not another team leaving, and it's, all right, well, it's still Steph. They won a championship in San Francisco, right? It's hard to not watch. It's hard to not be associated with it.
It might be easy to quit the A's. Yeah, it's not quite a I can't quit you situation.
Yeah, it's really hard. They're balling so much. I'm missing
Tyler Soderstrom. Shea Langelier.
Right. It's not as if back. You know, we ain't got Coco Crisp out there. We don't got the guys out there. So I don't know where A's fans are gonna fall on this.
No, and I'm seeing Rock and New Era on the chat is saying why would Oakland entertain the A's extension? People are more excited about the Ballers. Saying he begs to differ, nothing would be better. You know the team is leaving, and you don't want to give Fisher money. I completely understand that. I mean, that's a really good point, and I'm sure a lot of A's fans will feel that as well, and rightfully so. Like, don't give that man a single dollar because he's just going to pocket it, and he's still going to leave you. I totally get that, but at the same time, like. You know, maybe you wait until the very, very last season, but I'm telling you, from the Sacramento side, I know we didn't lose the team, but almost losing the team, you're not going to want to miss just the last possible chance to get those memories, to see that field. And, you know, it's not going to ever be the same. And so I would say, yes, absolutely, stick to your guns. But at some point, like, you know, Don't let pride get in the way of yourself having fun too. And, you know, yes, John Fisher might have ruined this for you, but the A's are still yours. Like, you should take some form of ownership over that. And I would recommend just go out to a couple games.
If you want them to be.
If you
want them to be. From the 209, I'd go as far as guaranteeing Oakland Ballers have a stronger attendance number than the A's. Yeah, I'm just based on from what I'm seeing, I don't know if it's gonna be popping, but from what I'm seeing just from the video, there's going to be a lot of standing. You got to be cool with standing. I don't see a lot, but I'm sure they can put in bleachers before. This is just the initial setting, so I'm interested
also,
to see.
I hope they do. I really hope they do because
they
I hope that this is not just people talking.
I think it's easy
to talk and say, hey, like, oh, yeah, screw job. I'm going to go to the ball. But, like, you can't just show up to opening night. Like, if you're going to do it, like, be about it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out as I look at the different schedules because if I'm not mistaken – Is this just an independent ball team?
I believe so. You would probably know a lot more about that structure.
I don't necessarily think this team is associated with. I don't think this team is associated with another franchise. I think it's just an indie ball team, and I'm just gonna be really well. The A's aren't very good, but I'm gonna be very honest. Indie ball is indie ball. It's not
right.
It's not. Great, but you'd be going to go, and it's professional baseball,
right.
Don't get me wrong, but a lot of guys get signed, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying the level of baseball, it's going to be more of an event versus, but, you know, and you have the Oakland roots out there as well, and I'll confirm during the break, because I'm seeing who they play, I'm 95% sure they are an indie ball team. We also have some more here before we get to a break from the 925. Ballers 4-1 over the A's in a 7-game series.
That would
nicely
be great.
Done. Nicely done.
That would be incredible.
From the 5-1-0, to heck with John Fisher. Sure. Leave him as a vagabond fan since 1970.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
Absolutely.
And going back to the 209, only way I'm cool with Fisher staying in town any longer is if the city helps bleed him dry so he's forced to sell. I get it. All right, let's get to a break. When we get back, Ty Lue. Not very happy with the refs. We also talk about the Kings as well as they get ready for their postseason run. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand.
And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Doing some research here, and look, baseball is baseball. I'll watch anything, and I think if you make the experience good enough, and I see on the text line somebody says to check out the Savannah Bananas. They're hilarious. If you don't know about the Savannah Bananas, they're basically like the Harlem Globetrotters for baseball. So to that, I'm looking here. I found a ranking of the indie ball leagues, and the Pioneer League, which is what the Oakland Ballers are in, ranks fourth out of 9 leagues. So it's basically a little bit better than the middle. And I'm thinking, yeah, as far as the experience, you can't go full Savannah Bananas, but if you get some bat flips, if you get music, go live golf type for baseball. Okay. If you're able to pull something off like that, I think that Oakland would really get down with that. I don't know how much is allowed, how much isn't for those leagues, but yeah, I think just as from a pure baseball standpoint, just from what I've seen, they're going to have to continue to build up that field. And yeah, the Oakland Roots, you know, Sac Republic, they do well.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, to your point, how many people are bluffing on going to the Ballers instead of the A's? I could see it being something where it's hot to trot to start and then it kind of falls off.
Right.
Or simply because I think the Oakland Ballers would probably really want the A's to leave now.
Yes.
Right? To be the only show in town.
Absolutely.
And I think the fact that this is hanging on, as much as people are saying that Fisher can go where the sun don't shine, I don't know how much that will really happen once you get out there. Yeah. And I'm not talking down on the Pioneer League at all. I'm just saying there could be a lot of initial feelings here and people just might not choose either.
Right,
The Oakland Ballers are going to have to really make it an experience. That food better be banging. And who were you telling
me? Local eats.
Who did you tell me they had good food out there? We were just talking about it. Was it the Stockton Kings? Who was it? You said, they got really good food. It was a sports venue though.
I can't remember. I know we were talking about the San Jose Earthquake the other day. Yeah. They have like the world's largest outdoor, or America's largest outdoor bar. So,
yeah, there was somewhere you said they have really good food too. So yeah, the Oakland Ballers are really going to have to make it an experience if they want to pull this off.
Oh, the River Cats,
who are getting warmed up as well. Yeah, and that there you go, the River Cats, something like that. And they can pull it off.
Lesser level, right?
No, yeah. Rivercats is AAA.
Right.
So we're going to see MLB players because they're going to be rehabbing and things like that. So AAA, completely different than Pioneer League. But if you make it an experience, they might be able to pull this off. But I think it will be tough. It will be tough if the A's decide to stay. Maybe it lasts for a little bit. I just don't know how long.
Yeah, it'd be tough. But I mean, I'm rooting for them for sure. I mean, I think that would be a great form of protest for sure. I mean, just to show, you know, there is an appetite for baseball at any level in this market. And there would be no better example than to say, absolutely, this Pioneer League team that is, you know, a middle league or a middle competition of the Pioneer League, look at the attendance that we have here.
Right.
Imagine what it would be if you can get these same people excited about a really big club. I think that it would definitely prove its point, but it's also got to be a sustainable thing.
Now, that is how this comes back to, that's what the reverse boycott was supposed to do.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you had Manfred come out. Oh yeah. I mean,
it was cute.
It was cute. Yeah. And they almost got to an average attendance. And that guy, I mean, people need to be
Send
more
him
upset.
To the sun.
Yes. More upset with him as well. But that's the other thing about if the A's do stay in Oakland, if there is some type of deal that Manfred and Major League Baseball ownership would agree to where it's like, hey, if you guys are, just give the A's fans a reason to promote. And if it's, all right, we're putting money in Fisher's pocket, but there is an agreement that if we show that we are a sustainable
market,
we can build and kind of get our own thing.
Right.
Sure, I think A's fans would sign up for that. But if it's just do it because you love the A's,
right. You're not gonna get it.
Go watch double A baseball because you love the A's. Good luck with that. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I might just go watch Pioneer because I'm not too sure it's different.
Sure.
Not too sure how different it is.
And also, why the hell should anyone in Oakland listen to any sort of deal? Like, if there is something struck with Major League Baseball and Rob, I'm not trusting a word that comes out of that man's mouth. So even if you say it, I'm going to say no. This is just this guy's way of trying to make this thing look like it's not a disaster.
Exactly.
So and if MLB was smart, they probably would try and implement something like that, but they're probably not even that smart to do that.
Right, right. They're just going to say, just go because you love the team.
No, because they hate John Fisher more than they love the team at this point, which is really telling because, as you pointed out from that text, there's A's fans from the 70s. I'm sure there's even fans before that, too. There's a lot of fans that they're upset, and it's crazy to me that even fans who have been around for as long as that, 40-year, 50-year A's fans, I truly believe that to a person, they hate John Fisher more than they like their team or love their team. And that has nothing to do with their level of love and admiration for the team. It has a lot more to do with just the decade that's been, a decade plus of this man just pulling them around and making them look a fool. And I don't blame them for being tired of it and just wishing that it was quite literally. Why can't that be like a Steve Wilkes situation where it's, I don't care who the owner is. Literally anybody except for John Fisher would be better.
Yeah, this is from the 209. Check out The Saint of Second Chances on Netflix. Great story on what independent ball can be.
Cool.
Hope the ballers have studied it closely. Look, the problem is if they're not the only show in town.
Exactly.
Right? If they're the only show in town, honestly, you know me. It's almost college baseball season, and every year I tell people, go watch college baseball. All right, I'll watch any type of baseball. I'm speaking for the non-hardcore baseball fans, not myself. I was a little too far, but I'll be at Rivercats games. I'll be at Oakland Ballers games when I can make it. I will watch any type of baseball. So if they get this right and the A's don't stay, this could definitely pop.
It could definitely be a thing.
It could definitely pop. It just really depends on how long the A's do stay and how much A's fans are still have an appetite and want to stick it to Fisher and watch baseball. Now, somebody that also wanted to stick it to the refs, and that was last night, as Ty Lue, this is just kind of a funny clip. So Ty Lue got ejected last night, and he was not happy. And these are just two random clips that I found hilarious because I don't know what the fine's going to be, but it's going to be something because you just can't do this. He has one clip where he's yelling and another clip. We'll play both of them back to back.
What a ref is that now? Cheat. That's all they be doing.
That's Ty Lue walking out of the building.
Sounds like a player.
He wasn't chasing the refs, but the Clippers ended up winning.
Yep.
So he was juiced up, even though, so he kind of got his, he avenged the fact that he got kicked out. And here's another one.
Where's James at? The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
Where's James at? I want to kick him in the mouth. That's crazy.
Where's James at? The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
Are you sure? Could it be kiss him in the mouth?
I highly doubt it.
The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
Now I hear kiss.
No.
This is a Lori Yant or whatever that was. Laurel Yanny. You guys remember that?
Oh, yes.
Where James at? I want to kick him in the mouth.
I hear
where
kiss
James
him.
Where James at? The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
Now, okay.
Wow.
I think it's kiss him in the mouth.
But why would he say that?
Because it's going to be like a troll. Thank you so much for kicking me out. Like, I love you, man. Thank you.
Are you serious or is
this
a bit?
No, I swear. I think he's trolling. I think he's like, you kick me out. Thank you, man.
They put it on the poll.
Like, it's like, I hate you so much, I'm going to kiss you because that's the complete opposite.
Right. Nate, put it on the poll.
Okay. If you cut that, I'm going to, I will kick you in the mouth.
Let's listen. Okay. Let's listen. Let's just listen hard. Ready?
Where's James at? The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
I'm hearing the S now.
No.
And I think it's because Chris put it in my head.
No.
Or maybe it's just because
the dress blue or gold.
He said kiss him in the mouth.
It's honestly
not proper.
Yeah, that's not that's the problem I'm having here.
The problem is if he said kick him in the mouth, that's pretty aggressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So is kissing in the mouth if he wants to kiss a essentially coworker on the mouth.
But yelling I'm going to kiss you on the mouth is
in
definitely
the mouth.
There's no
way. Semantics. Semantics.
The in is way makes it worse. There's.
I'm just saying.
The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
Kick him in the mouth.
It's from a different sound.
I just think if he says kick him in the mouth, then there's real possibility, or just he's going to get fined. And if he says kiss him, then
Run it back. Okay.
Yeah. We're James Adam, the referee. I want to kick him in the mouth.
Okay, dude. Now
I'm telling you,
I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am.
he's yelling. Kick. He's trying to bring as much of attention to himself as possible. He's trying to get a lap. Like, I mean, I think he's definitely trying to upstage the ref, but I don't think he said kick him in the mouth. That's kind of wild,
dude.
I mean, saying kiss him in the mouth isn't wild. But
Chris, that's way more wild. Saying he wants to kiss him on the mouth?
I don't think so. I definitely think kicking
kiss
somebody
him in the mouth, in the mouth. You can't say.
You can't say.
It's definitely kick.
Oh, sorry, but you can just throw out. I'm just gonna.
No, I think he's tripping.
We're about to go to break.
He's tripping.
I'm just gonna walk outside and I'm gonna say I can't wait to kick somebody in the mouth.
Okay, I don't think it's okay. No, that's what I'm saying. He's tripping.
Yeah, they're both bad, but the kiss is, I think, worse because of the con.
I think y'all are showing your insecurity.
No. He was angry. He was angry.
Well, you're bordering on a different type of assault then. And that's what I'm trying to say. I think that is worse.
Where James at? All right, we got to get
this
to a break.
Bad.
When we get back, look, I was really hard on Niner fans for wanting to be underdogs. And Patrick Mahomes has some things to say at the parade as far as being an underdog. And he's getting killed for it. Let's get to a break, and we will get to that next. Thousand Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Where James at? The referee, I want to kick him in the mouth.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.